It was a risk that I do not regret taking it. A lot of people told me, you're going to get fired in 2 months. In this 9 months, I had partnership with Emirates Airlines and Dubai Duty Free, the Department of Finance.
Were you the one behind the concept of having the ability now to use crypto eventually to pay for government service fees?
Yes.
I'd like to say the biggest Bitcoin holders today on a global level is they're based here in the UAE. People saying there is a future for it. So now that the UAE has taken that lead, you never know, maybe tomorrow Dubai has its own stablecoin. Or we hear Emirates Airlines creating their own stablecoin, the Qatar government. But again, the future has begun in this region because the UAE took that step.
All right, we're here with another special episode with a great friend of mine who's a special guest today here. His name is Mohammed Al-Hakim. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Mohammed.
Absolutely. So for the people listening right now.
Yes.
What's the best way to explain crypto to someone who's brand new so they can get it in under a minute?
Crypto, let me say it in a very simplified way. I call it the digital finance world that we've entered in. It's money that you control and not anyone else controlling. It's how you want to invest at the end of the day. It's not you pegging with a certain currency. You buy a stable coin. That stable coin is backed up by mining codes. So at the end of the day, you know that there is a value for what you're investing in. So to simplify it, if you have a wallet today, you control it. Not anyone else controls it. You say to what you want to spend to, you say yes or no. Let me say it in a different way. If I come up to you today and tell you, this is a bill for you to pay of 50 dirhams. And it's a service that I have not offered you, but you're forced to pay because there is a law that forces you to pay that $50 or 50, whatever the currency is today. You have the rights today to say, shall I print or not? Shall I pay or not? Going back again, it's like when a country decides to go into war. When they go into war, they start printing money. Who ends up paying for this money? The taxpayers. So imagine today if you don't want your country to go into war, for whatever specific reason, you don't want your country to do these mistakes for whatever specific reason. Nobody can hear you. Why? Because there is a law, there is a bill that says you need to do it as a citizen at the end of the day. Now, alhamdulillah, in our region, we're very safe. But we did see a lot of geopolitical where a lot of people or certain governments stopped their citizens from spending their own money. And when you stop your own citizen from spending his own money, what happens is your economy collapses. So when you give the freedom of someone to spend and to do whatever they want to do in the right way, then they're free to do it in the right way. So simplifying it, it's your wallet, it's your money, you have control on it. Not a bank that stops you from spending it or a government from stops you from spending it because they need to increase their reserve or they need to do something or another.
When I think about that, for example, some of our money are right now within banks, if you think about it. They're stored somewhere, you know, it's safe, it's within banks. Sure, you'll not have maybe as control as you say, if depending on the country you are in. But if you think about crypto, the moment you lose your wallet or that specific place you place your digital currency, you lost everything.
Yeah, but again, nobody...
It's like, you know, the treasure box you have in the past 100 years ago where they store their favorite.
It's very rare we hear someone that has lost their wallet, to be very honest. It's very rare. In my day and age today, I've been in the industry now for a while, so I've started to see. And it does not mean we don't have details. We do have details. If you have your... proper name, mobile number, email address. At the end of the day, this is tracked because there's compliance and there is KYC done at the end of the day. So it doesn't mean your money disappears. No, it takes a bit of time for me to get the information that you've had previously. Now, new wallet holders, it's easier for them to access. The old wallet holders, due to wallet numbers, sizes, whatever. But it's very rare. Like, it's not like you're going to deposit $100 million and then just lose it the next morning, because no one's going to freeze that for you unless if you have put in your incorrect password 3-4 times, have incorrectly put in your passcode 3-4 times. So you have got a password, you've got a face resignation, you've got your passcode. So you've got 3 verifications to do. So it doesn't mean that, no, that's it, because you put in an incorrect password. No, you've got a passcode, you've got a face recognition. So there are things that, as they say, has been modified in the crypto world today.
Now, let's go a little bit about you before we talk more about crypto.
Sure.
I believe you used to work in a government job before.
True.
What made you decide that you want to leave a safe government job and go into this risky crypto world that you are in today?
Hamid's always been a risk taker. This is how I like to simplify it. Government was good. Government taught me things that I did not know how government works at the end of the day. And I was very grateful to work for the federal government. We have a leader. I made this government very successful since 2006. As I call it, the 4th of January 2006, His Highness Sheikh Rashid Al Maktoum. And we could see where the government has gone from 2006 to 2025. And alhamdulillah. And we've seen things happening in this country where we've not seen it anywhere else in the world. And it's because of one person, especially if we look at the city of Dubai, it's just because of one person. And this is what government, I think, so was good. It taught me, but again, it was too safe for me. And there's to a certain level where you can do. And I felt, no, this is not me, because you have a routine job. And I'm not a person that enjoys the same routine, waking up in the morning, being a director, going to the office, having that nice big office, as they say, getting the respect because you're a director at the end of the day. You've got employees that report to you. But again, there is, like, I'm not that person that enjoys going back home at 3 p.m., having lunch, going to sleep, waking up, going to the gym. No, I like the 9-to-5 job. I don't work the 9-to-5. I do work very late, but in the crypto world. But again, it was a risk that I do not regret taking it. A lot of people told me, you're going to get fired in 2 months.
How long have you been in this new position right now?
9 months. Alhamdulillah. So in this 9 months, I had a lot of successful things that happened, and I have more, inshallah, successful days ahead. With the recent partnership with Emirates Airlines and Dubai Duty Free, before that with the Department of Finance of Dubai government, or with the Dubai Land Department and the tokenization project. It's what I think so takes me back at the age of 14 when I got my first job. I went and I tapped on that door as a joke in Burger King, or Hungry Jacks as they call it in Australia.
You were in Australia?
Yeah, I was in Australia for 14 years. And,
interesting.
And that's the country that created Muhammad. That's how I like to call it. And I always thank the one person in my life, and that is my mother, that she always made sure that it's not about well taken care of, but of Muhammad being a risk taker. So that's how I like to say it. It's not about leaving somewhere safe. I went to the government for 6 years to learn something. I learned it. I came out. And now I'm bridging literally between the digital finance world and the traditional world that we are living in right now.
So were you the one behind the concept of having the ability now to use crypto eventually to pay for government service fees?
Yes.
This is amazing.
Yes. The D33 initiative was launched by His Highness Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, Deputy Prime Minister, Crown Prince of Dubai, Deputy Prime Minister, and the Minister of Defense. And I kept thinking, what can I do extra? And I was at that time Mohammed bin Rashid Leadership Program.
Mm.
And it's a program that really changed my life. And it's the program that actually got me into the crypto world. Just an FYI.
Oh, right. Interesting.
Yes. And yeah, and I remember I had a friend, Ahmed, his name was. He's still a friend. He's a brother. And I pick up the phone and I say, listen, there is something called the D33 initiative. It's a cashless initiative. Why don't we get into it? And so, alhamdulillah, it took some time, but we got it done. We're in an implementation stage, as they say it right now.
So it will be implemented across all governments?
Very soon, yes.
Wow. So every citizen right now living in Dubai eventually will be able to use
Dubai
crypto
to
pay for government services.
Yeah.
Or fees.
Fee.
In that case. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. I guess we're being more progressive as a country and as a city here in Emirate Dubai.
Well, the biggest... I like to say the biggest Bitcoin holders today on a global level is they're based here in the UAE based on a statistic that came out 48 hours ago.
Really?
Yes.
Right here in Dubai?
In the UAE, let me say. So,
is it Dubai. Because it's very crypto friendly?
It's not about being crypto friendly. We live today in a country, in a city, where safety is the number one thing today that you have. And if you're sitting on a flight, if you're walking down in Dubai Mall, you ask any tourist, why are you coming? And right now we're in the summer, 50 degrees outside, or 48 degrees as I call it. Or sometimes I say minus 48 degrees, so that's how I like to call it. You ask them, why have you come to the city? They will tell you, it's safe. People are nice. You guys are amazing. From the moment you welcome us to the moment we leave this country or this city, we always have a memory that stays. It's the only city, as they say it, you leave your mobile phone, your bag on the table, and you walk away after 35, 45 minutes, you come back, it's still there. And this is all thanks to, goes back to one person, that is His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid, for giving us that safety to live in. So when you come and look at these businessmen moving, these millionaires and billionaires moving to Dubai, there is one reason, safety. Your money's protected. The government's not going to force you on invest on this or invest on that. No. Ahlan wa sahlan, as we say in Arabic.
You're free to choose how to use your money.
Yes.
Much more so. Which is very true. And now, talking in this, in the subject of money, there's a recent release of a dirham wallet.
Yes. An AED coin.
AED coin.
Yes.
Yeah.
An AED
Which
coin.
Is dirham.
Yes.
What is virtual?
It's a virtual. It's launched by Maraya Bank in Abu Dhabi. I think so. Implementation will be in Q3 and Q4. And this is a very great step because we're the first, I think so, in the region to take that out.
Is it similar to the USDT?
Similarity. There's a similarity to it. But yeah, just for you to have a stable coin under the United Arab Emirates or under AE Arab Emirates name, that's a big thing,
So you're saying that it will not fluctuate or be volatile?
Well, it's still early for us to look at that. We still need to see it listing. I still do not have more insight about it. But again, having that initiative, that's just a bold step that has taken place. Because if you go 1 year ago into the UAE and you are back 1 year ago, and if you go and talk to someone, I want to create a stable coin. We don't have interest about this.
Mm-hmm.
As some people say, I enjoy feeling the money in my hand. I do not like seeing it. But now this is the reality where we're going through. And alhamdulillah. So it's a great move.
That's the thing that is amazing about the city of Dubai, and especially about the UAE in general. They're always open to innovation.
Yes.
Always open to emerging technology.
True.
Always open to that. What we say... most people would say is impossible. We try to make it possible.
True. And this is, the famous quote of Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid that he always uses is, we live in a country and a city that we always take the I and M off and make it possible.
True.
And
I am possible.
Yes. And if we go back a few years ago during COVID, we launched a ministry actually here in the UAE called the Ministry of Impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was down at Emirates Towers. It was initiatives that you cannot get it done. You go there with a great team. You're able. So again, this is what I like about the UAE federal government or and also with Dubai government, that it's all based on teamwork. It's not one individual that is sitting and doing everything. It's a team that is behind everything.
A team of leaders.
Team of leaders.
Very smart leaders.
And you know, you could always go back to the ruler of Dubai when he says, don't thank me. I always have to thank first thing the team, because if it's not them, it's not going to be done. Yes, I do guide. I do say what I want. But does not mean that you can get some team players that don't want to do it. There are some team players will follow you because they believe in what you want to do and they believe in what the city wants to achieve. So alhamdulillah, in adoption, we've been great in this city. You know, we're lucky to have the tallest building in the world, the best infrastructure, and an amazing view just behind us. You know,
absolutely, it's an amazing view right now. Almost going to be sunset.
Yes.
So catching up with time.
Yes.
Catching up with time right here, I would say, what is the biggest myth people in the Gulf really believe about crypto that just bugs you? Like, this myth isn't correct.
There isn't running away from this myth, but it's when you go and tap a door and someone tells you, crypto? No, get out of my office. This is money laundering. Terrorism, whatever names you hear in a movie, you'll find that person taking out it in front of you. And you keep saying to yourself, human trafficking is crypto? Money laundering is crypto? Terrorism is crypto? No, man, you've got this thing wrong. You sit down and speak to them, and especially when you sit down and talk about Bitcoin reserve. And you show how much return you have on that Bitcoin reserve at the end of the day. More, it pays you better than getting an apartment, as I like to say it. But again, just for them having that myth and for you just to fixing that image, that takes a very big time. Because unfortunately, we live in a world where when people do talk, we listen to them. And it's very easy that 2% can change your mind in a thought that you've just had. And it's very easy, one person can come and change all of that back to what you were actually believing. So that myth is there and it's still going to be there. But again, I always say learn from the UAE because it's the best place when it comes to adopting anything. And when I sit down in front of these decision makers or these leaders, I say to them, no one's saying to you, do it right away. Do it a pilot. See if it works out or not. Doesn't work out, we shake hands. Assalam. Best. But if it does work out, there is a lot of billions to make out of it. So, and alhamdulillah, whenever, as they say, I've touched something, it's going well. But again, we don't go in a very fast pace. We do it step by step. Step by step till we get things done.
Setting up the foundation right so it can run for the long term.
Yes.
What's the first step a beginner in the UAE should take before even buying a crypto, for example?
Read. Watch. Don't go crazy over a YouTube video. Hey, I invested in $2,000 and I became a millionaire the next morning. No. Just take it out of your head.
That is fake?
That is fake. Nothing will make you $1 million within a day and night or within a week. Yes, if you come to me 10 years ago and you told me you bought Bitcoin when it used to be $10,000, yes, I would believe you're a billionaire today or a millionaire today. But if you come and tell me, oh, Mohammed, I invested last week or a few months ago, I bought Bitcoin $73,000 and I sold it $124 on the peak 48 hours ago, I would still not believe it because that's just plus 35% or plus 38%. So again, there is that thing I always say to a lot of people, read, listen, and don't go crazy. You want to invest? Actually, before I come to this podcast or to sit down with you, somebody was giving me a coin asking me, can I put an X amount in it? The first question I asked them, how much is your saving? He told me an X amount. I was like, you're willing to give up all your saving for this? He was like, yeah, because there's a future. I was like, based on what? This is not Ethereum or Solana or Bitcoin or USDT. What? Man, there are some currencies where you can go back and read. You can see diagrams. But something that's going to launch tomorrow morning or the next week or has been launched 1 month ago, you cannot just build a myth out of that or just build a prediction. Also, ChatGPT will not give you that. So, again.
Would you say you're an investor on the crypto?
Me, myself?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
So, how do you keep yourself calm when the prices are swinging like crazy? Or do you sell?
No, I don't sell. To be honest, I've never sold.
Really?
Yes. I've been in it now for 2.5 years. And I've never sold a dime because I'm there for the long term. I'm not there for the short term. It's like when you buy gold, or when gold used to be $500 or $600, today is an X amount. Something that you buy, you keep because you don't know I always look at it after 60 is what I'm going to do. Alhamdulillah, I have a job today. I have an income. I have a stable life. Doesn't mean I need to go crazy. Yes, you want to go crazy after 60, 65, 70. After retirement, it's good. Enjoy life. Nobody's saying this. This is the money that you've earned all this time. As they say, go take a cruise, go for on a world tour. It's amazing. But again, why would I sell? Unless if I'm in need. And I'm not in need, alhamdulillah. So when it comes to cryptocurrency, keep. Because there are better days ahead.
So how can someone know if a new coin, for example, is real or just a hype?
I would say I will not sell crypto.com because I'm the president over here in the region, but there are some good platforms out there. Every platform has an announcement. No platform or big platforms will go and take an announcement out unless they've not done their due diligence. So I always say if a good platform that you are trusted, you've been able to deposit and withdraw whatever currency that you're depositing or you're withdrawing today, they're going to announce it. Wait for a few days, see how it goes. And then if you want to invest, invest in it. But again, we rarely hear today a coin disappearing. Very rare. Because again, the due diligence is done independently. There isn't anyone interfering in that. So it's been very safe, very stable.
So you're saying the coins that are in the big platforms like Binance, like Crypto.com, like all the others, might not be a way where there might be a pump and dump, as they hear the term?
No. If you tell me a few years ago, yes. Again, but now it's very rare I hear pump and dump. I hear a lot of people actually these days do not look at that. And they don't look at investing a new coin unless if there is a trend going on it, a good marketing campaign that has gone out of it. So it's very rare you hear today someone saying, I put my money and I lost it. It's more the stability that people are looking at.
There was a time when I don't know if it's still valuable as it is today, NFTs.
Yes.
Where everyone was going the craze about NFTs. It was just 2 years ago, 1 year ago, even 3 years ago. And everyone was just buying at a ridiculous amount with Bitcoin or with other cryptocurrencies, buying those NFTs. And I felt like I had no use in my mind. Like, okay, you have exclusive art that only belongs to you. In a way, there's nothing really tangible that can be done out of it. What happened to it now?
Is it NFT? No, NFT is still there. It's got its own market. It's got its own people that are interested in it. And again, it was a hype, I would say, at a certain time. But there are certain investors that are happy to deal with NFTs and they look at it. I personally have not entered the NFT market.
Some people even lost their money.
Some people do. Again,
a lot of people lost their money.
Hamid, today, whatever you do, whatever you invest in, also real estate, also a currency. Also, if you're buying oil or any commodity out there today, it's or you lose or you win. So again, there are some people that literally they will invest in things when it becomes a trend, but it's too late.
Mm. So like, the time they know it, yeah, already has passed.
It's like off. It's like if you remember this, the Trump coin when it came out.
Mm.
Nobody invested in it when it was $1 or $2 or $3 or $4 or $5. Everyone invested in it when it was $48. Good morning. It's been out for a while. Why didn't you invest at that time? After you invested in $48, it dropped a little bit. You came in and said, oh, I lost my money. No, it was there out for a while. It's where people were campaigning for it. Donald Trump was speaking about it.
Really? Yes. He was speaking about it way before it even had...
No, after it was launched.
Mm.
After he was launched, you know, there was a few podcasts. If you go back and look at it, he did mention it. And again, you know, it's unfortunately, some people do not believe in something, but once it gets a trend and a hype, and unfortunately, we human beings have started now following what's trending.
Mm-hmm.
And act like la boo. But yeah, you know, it's weird when we follow trends, but we need to understand that that trend is there for that specific time, and then it's gonna die. So if somebody comes and tells me what should I invest in, I tell them what the 5 most traded stablecoin that is out there today. Invest in that because you know you have a good return out of it. Don't come on something that is trending because I don't know. I cannot give you a guarantee, but I could tell you on statistical numbers of things that has been out there in the 7, 8, 9 years in the market, but I cannot give you a statistic of our numbers that has been out there for 2, 3 weeks.
Mm.
Makes sense?
What about in terms of Dubai right now? Why is Dubai the right place and not London, not New York for crypto growth?
Dubai is, other than it's a tax-free, Dubai, I always like to see it in a different way. Dubai started the Virtual Asset Regulatory Authority before anyone else started it in the region. VARA today has hundreds of companies underneath them, chaired by His Excellency Hilal Al-Marri. The team over there is doing an amazing job when it comes to legislation and so on. And crypto users are finding themselves there much safer, much happier when it comes over here. Because there's the right rules, the regulations, the laws out there, and they're free to do what they want to do. And again, your wallet moves with you wherever you go. And as we say in crypto.com, crypto in every wallet. So that's how we enjoy seeing it at the end of the day. And Dubai has been a perfect example. Whenever I sit down with a crypto user or a crypto trader, or anyone in the crypto world, where would you like to be? They would say Dubai. You know, there was a very famous article that came out a few days ago by the New York Times. Nobody's interested in working or living in Singapore, Hong Kong, or London anymore. And Dubai has always been the first destination that people are choosing to come, to stay. There is that weird one person that will come out, I was caught by the police or whatever, an influencer that will come out, but that's fake. That's very rare. We hear these things over here in the city or in this country. But again, Dubai is, I guess, the safest city today in the world. You can never beat Dubai.
What about the schools?
Or let me add this. There's a very nice quote. Or not a nice quote. There was an interview by His Highness Sheikh Ahmed bin Said Al Maktoum, the chairman of Emirates Airlines, with Richard Quest on CNN.
Okay.
Where His Highness, Richard Quest said to His Highness, when people bet on Dubai, he said, every time you bet on Dubai, you're going to lose. And that was a perfect, and this was during COVID.
Mm.
And COVID was a perfect example where Dubai showcased itself as a brand, as a trademark, as an ink to the world. Everywhere else was shut. Dubai was always open for business. There was that mask. There was that 2 meters distance. There was a lot of things that we took into consideration, but it did not mean we closed our borders. Yes, it was closed for 2 to 3 weeks to 4 weeks, as they say. But again, alhamdulillah, the numbers were there. statistics were there. And again, as I like to copy Sheikh Ahmed when he says this, every time you bet on Dubai, you're going to lose. Because it's always been able to prove itself. And the perfect also example is the recession. A lot of people don't like to talk about it. But again, we had very bad negative media about the recession during that time. I still remember I was an employee at Standard Chartered Bank working in global markets. I still remember seeing Sheikh Ahmed Said coming out on TV and talking as he's the chairman of the committee. And Dubai was able to deliver Burj Khalifa, Metro, a Maidan Hotel, or the Maidan Racecourse during the recession. If I'm not mistaken, it was 2008, 2009. But again, Dubai has always been able to deliver. No matter how bad you talk about Dubai, at the end of the day, you know, you're going to come back. It's like as the famous Egyptian word, حتشرب من مي النيل حترجع له حترجع له. That's how Dubai is. Once you visit Dubai, you're always going to come back to Dubai.
But you forgot to also mention that not only the government was thriving and withstanding the odds, but also the people that have come here, even during the recession.
Yes.
They have built themselves into being multimillionaires.
Yes. Entrepreneurs. Yeah. And you do sit down and hear great successful stories from 2009 or 2008.
A lot of the top brokerage firms actually started after the recession.
Yeah, after the recession. I actually know a company that started during the recession.
Mm-hmm.
And without taking names, but mashallah, when I was talking to the owner of the company, I was like, how much are you worth today? $320 million. And he started in a recession.
That's the thing.
Yeah. So again, Dubai is, as they used to, or they still say it, is a city of dream. It's a city where things are possible to happen. And it's things that, you know, you don't ever think that if you think that, no, I cannot do this in Dubai. No, trust me, you can do a lot of things in Dubai. It's like, I also like to use it, our mission to Mars was launched, if I'm not mistaken, during COVID. We had the mission to Mars.
The Hope probe.
Yeah, the Hope, yes. And it was actually, there was a live stream, bro, just right here in front of Burj Khalifa. And I still remember Her Excellency Sara Al-Amiri standing out there on TV and talking. And, you know, we were able to send a probe to Mars during a COVID, which governments were sitting and thinking about keeping people inside locked up. Where government over here,
we were thinking about going all the way to Mars.
So this is
Amran Sharaf. He was part of the
program. Yeah, Amran Sharaf was a part of
it. I had him in the podcast too.
Oh, mashallah. Yeah. Mashallah.
It was a very, very interesting story. And he gave a lot of insight. One of the insights he gave was fail quick, fail cheap, fail fast.
Yeah.
That is the way that we are built here. We're built here to always go and test the latest thing that are happening here. We'll be the first adopters, but that doesn't mean that we will have to implement everything.
True.
We will test all the possibilities and find the right solution that gets us to the path we want to go.
True. And you know, again, just to add on Imran, when he was over here, you know, I was actually speaking to His Excellency Sayyid Al-Attar, who is let me say the Director General of the Executive Office of His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid, and he heads the UAE or the Dubai or the UAE Media Council, and or the UAE Government Media Council. And anyway, so His Excellency Said was telling me when the first mission to space, he said, Mohammed, you didn't want to hear the negativity that came out. He said, and it was during COVID also, in 2021, if I'm not mistaken. Or no, before COVID, when they had the first mission. And he was like, people were saying, when we were saying to them, everything is built in the UAE, they said, no, things were bought from the US, things were bought from Russia, things were bought from here and there, all, as they say, assembled in the UAE and sent to space. And he said, that was very painful, because here I've worked day and night to make sure I take out a success story. And he said, I didn't take it in a negative way. I brought back the media. I took them to the Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center and I showed them what these Emiratis are doing. And this is a country where we say nothing is impossible. Everything is possible for you to be today.
So for the audience listening here, maybe you can name a specific new crypto that could start in the Gulf and spread worldwide. Do you believe there is such one?
See, I cannot say if there is going to be a new crypto or not, or a new currency that's going to come out or not, or a new stable coin or a meme coin that's going to come or not, because again, I'm not in the listing part when it comes. But I do see there is people talking about it. People saying there is a future for it. So now that the UAE has taken that lead, we never know, maybe tomorrow Dubai has its own stable coin, or we hear Riyal having their stable coin, or we hear Emirates Airlines creating their own stable coin, or we hear the Qatar government. But again, the future has begun in this region because the UAE took that step, or Abu Dhabi took that step in launching the AE coin. And now we're going to see. And I have sat with investors or decision makers in the government where they have, from certain GCC countries, where they have that. You know, they have started using that. If we would create our stable coin, how does it work? How does white labeling work? How does the white paper? So there are things that they do speak about, but sometimes you ask yourself, are they serious or not? Can I quote or not? Because again, you know, I cannot go and speak on behalf of a government or a city at the end of the day. But I can say, yes, people have started to mention it more. And if there is any launch, they would advertise it at least 3 to 6 months before that, especially when it comes. Like, for instance, the AE coin was announced by Central Bank. And you know, it's still, I believe, it's under the listing process. They've not listed it yet. But again, I think so any other government in the GCC region, if they're going to launch a stablecoin, they will announce it before they get the list up.
For sure. Now, if someone's going to store their crypt, should they store it in a cold wallet at home or as a fund on an exchange, which might be safer?
See, cold storage is always, or cold wallet is always the safest. That's how I like to use it.
More than exchange.
More than an exchange. And again, it differs person to person how they're looking at it. But cold is always safe. And the exchange is, yes, it's nice for you to have it there. There are a few risks that I don't want to get into. But again, cold is always cold. This is why it was called in the beginning cold wallet. Because it's safe, it's there, you know where it is.
Do you believe that crypto is still a real path to the wealth?
Yes, and we're just in the beginning.
It's not the windows closed. It's the game. Because everyone's thinking about Bitcoin right now.
I like to use it this way. If we go back 1,000 years.
Thousands of years ago.
1,000 years ago.
All right.
People were using silver and gold to pay for things.
Yes.
If we go 100 years ago, still a metal was used to buy and sell things. Then we started seeing paper money. We started seeing checkbooks. Where are the checkbooks today? Nobody hears about checkbooks anymore. That stopped. Money is there. But it's your choice how you want to have it at the end of the day. You want to have it as a cash or you want to have it in your bank account. But again, printing cash, we're also going to see it disappearing. You know, we've seen, you don't see anymore the 1 dirham or the 50 fils. Very rare you see it. You know, there was a time in life where we used to enjoy, I'm a collector of that 1 dirham from the good 1990s, where 1 dirham used to be this big and then became this small. And when the 20 dirham note was out, and when the 200 dirham note, when it was, I have collected these things, but it's nice for a collection, for a memory. Where are we heading next? It's the digital world. And you have a tablet in your hand. You don't have a piece of paper today. This is not a perfect word.
So, we're paperless.
Yes. And Dubai government is, or let's say Dubai has, or the UAE has taken that initiative to be cashless. And this is where I say, yes, crypto is right in the beginning. It's 10 years or let me say 12 years if you want to say. 13 years if you want to add. But again, we're just still in the beginning. What we're going to see in the next 50 years, I don't know if I'm dead and alive by that time, but maybe our kids or our grandkids are going to see is a lot more of success than what we have seen. We're not going to have this conversation in the next 10, 20, 30 years time. I'm telling you from now.
Well, the only way to find out is to live long enough to see.
Inshallah.
Right?
Inshallah. Inshallah.
Is there anything in crypto that keeps you awake at night?
Oh. Yes. There are a few things in the crypto world. As you know, we live in Dubai. And the crypto world is alive in Dubai at night. During the day in Dubai, you see it's very quiet.
Mm.
So I always like to stay up a bit late. When I used to be a government employee, 10:30, 11 o'clock was lights off because I have to be up 7 in the office. In the crypto world, no. You know, I sleep a bit late because I enjoy seeing up and down a little bit. I would wake up at 3 a.m. again just to check the market, see everything is okay, and go back to bed. But yeah, it's the only thing that keeps me up at night is, you know, if I'm going to hear there's, for instance, this week, U.S. has got their crypto week. You know, there's a bill that is going to be passed and we're all anxious, waiting to see what's going to be passed over there.
Interesting. Whatever happens in America just affects everybody.
Well, look, again, it's a trend, right? You know, today America's taking that step. Tomorrow you're going to find another country taking that step. Maybe tomorrow you find UAE taking also another step when it comes to the crypto world. So there's always been a step. So now America's now a hype because they're trying to regulate a few things when it comes into the crypto world. And that's a great step. So we've seen that market move to a positive side. And again, you know, I've started to understand a bit more of the market right now. So for instance, a friend called me that day. He was like, oh, Mohammed, I bought BTC against USD when it was 119. It's now down to 116. What should I do? Should I sell? It's like, no. When there is any geopolitical news that comes out, give it 24 hours. The market will go back to stability. Your money is going to go back to 118, 119, 120. And you'll be safe.
I always believe when it comes to crypto, especially if you're not a day trader, you're not a day trader. If you're not, you might as well just put the money and forget about it.
Well, I have seen people keeping their money and forgetting about it. I have actually a very good friend that bought BTC when it was a few months ago and at the lowest at 73,000. And he calls me up a few days ago. He's like, Hamman. I was like, yes. He's like, it's 120. He was whispering. I was like, why are you whispering? He's like, I just want to repeat it. It's 120. I was like,
$50,000 extra, right?
And he was like, what do I do now? I was like, keep it. Are you in need of cash? He's like, no, just keep it. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow morning. You don't know what's going to happen after 10 days, a year or two or three. BTC today is like gold. This is how it's valued more than gold. But anyways, BTC is an asset that's nice to keep for a long term. You're not going to lose it.
You know, I bought Bitcoin at $4,000 and then I sold it at 20.
I hope I had my pizza with it.
No, I bought it at $4,000, but then I sell it at 20,000. I thought I made my biggest profit from that. Yeah. And then it turns out that it has done much more than ever than I ever
did. I was sitting on a flight back from Jeddah, and I was actually sitting with a Saudi, and he actually recognized me on the flight, and he was like, you're the one that just signed with Emirates Airlines. I was like, yes. He was like, crypto.com. I was like, yes. It's like, I'll tell you something. I'll share a secret with you. I was like, share the secret with me. He's like, I bought Bitcoin when it was $5,000. And I bought it with an X amount. I have still not sold it. So I went quickly after he got up and we're sitting in the lounge, the Emirates right at the back. The moment he went back to his seat, I went and I was like, ah, this guy's done great, good problem. Or after calculating, it was how many BTCs he bought at that time. And it was smart.
And he never sold it.
Never sold it.
Oh, wow.
And he has it on cold storage. He's like, I'm never going to sell it. He said, I'm going to sell it. He's now 55. He said, I'm going to sell it when I'm 75.
That's if Bitcoin gets to be that long for that long.
Well, again,
30 years down the line, you never know what's going to happen, right?
Well, see, there is still 19 million Bitcoins remaining, right?
Mm-hmm. Remaining or is it taken? I thought it was taken.
No, yes, sorry. 19 million has been taken. Sorry. 19 million has been taken. There is 21 million, that was there. 19 has been taken. You have still about 2 million, 3 million.
Yeah, I believe so.
3 million, 2.5, 3 million. Anyways, again, after that, again, then it will be all about supply and demand, right? And again, there will be supply, there will be more demand on it at that time, because then that's it. You cannot
even mine more
anymore. And that's it. Yeah. You know,
there's a limit.
It's an end of story, as they say, after that.
If you mine the final go in the cave.
But again, people are still, again, I say it's still early. We've not seen that era of BTC, and we will see it. Inshallah, I get to see it.
Sure.
I have that prediction in the next 5 years, what it's going to be, and inshallah, it will hit the number that I have in mind.
Now, I want to leave for the audience here that you have went through great success,
alhamdulillah,
mashallah, from being in the ministry to all the way to be...
I started in private. I went to the ministry, and I came back to the private.
Which is, you are now the president.
Yes.
Of this region,
yes.
Specifically. If you were going to leave this interview, what single lesson about success will you leave with us here?
Be a risk taker. Never say no. For the young generation that are looking at this podcast, and say it directly to the cameras, whenever you have an opportunity in front of you, just take it. Don't think twice about this opportunity. If you don't test it, you will not know if it's good for you or not. For the parents that are looking at this podcast, use me as an example. I have fallen more than 20 times. But I never had anyone to grab my hand to say to me, Yalla, get up. I would get up myself. Know the mistake that I did. And not regret the mistake I did. Unfortunately today, a lot of people, families or parents, they get too scared when it comes to their kids because they see what is happening around, especially with generations, the new generations that is coming. But I always say, yes, it's nice to have control where, as we say in Arabic, تعلمهم في المباد, that you teach them, you have to pray 5 times a day when it comes to our culture, our religion. You need to fast in Ramadan, you have to perform Umrah, you need to perform Hajj once in your life. These 5 pillars of Islam that you need to teach them. Other than that, if your son, your daughter wants to go and work in the private sector, wants to work in the military, wants to, you leave it to them. It's like there was a nice time where your mother would wake up tomorrow morning and say, Hamid, you're going to get married to this person, full stop. Right now, mothers don't want to do that because they know if this marriage goes in the wrong way, as they say, or south, she's going to get the blame. She's not going to get the blame from the son because the son or the daughter will not blame the mother, but the family that's going to blame the mother at the end of the day. So my one advice to the generation that is looking, and the generation I'm always saying is the ones that have just graduated from university up to the age of 35, take risks. You have just started your life. You've not seen anything yet. I still remember when I was, I don't like to compare myself with others because I have taken risk when I was at the age of 14. I did witness September 11. I was living in a foreign country. I saw a lot of things in front of me. So I always say to any person that comes, that is about to graduate from university, don't think twice. Take the first opportunity. Not what you have graduated with is the job that you need to work. It's simple, it's straightforward. I graduated with marketing and finance, but I'm in the crypto world today. I knew that I was a sales and business development person when I was at the age of 26, 27. And I've been going through that time. Yes, I have changed career paths, But it does not mean that I've stayed in the same career path. And I always say, if you're not, don't say I'm a businessman or if I'm not a businessman, if I'm a businesswoman or if I'm not a businesswoman. Try once, twice, three times. Three times you failed. It's up to you if you still want to go with it or if you just want to stay with a stable job that's going to give you a stable income. Some people, they say, okay, I've taken too many risks. I've taken too many falls. I just want to hurt myself. Some will say, no, I'm ready to take 10 falls just to make sure that I have got a great foundation to grow for tomorrow. So I guess that's one advice is be a risk taker. Don't think twice. It comes, take the opportunity that does come in front of you.
Wonderful, insightful advice for especially the youth who are always, maybe afraid from the parents, afraid from life. Maybe to take that fear aside and take that opportunity when it comes at you.
And always ask. And advice is for free today.
Yes.
And I have thousands of people reaching out to me on a weekly basis. Hamid, I have this, I have that. I sometimes go out of my way. I would sit with someone, a random person in a coffee shop. Hamid, what should I do right now? I'm stuck. Or someone would say to me, I'm a very big fan of yours. I want to learn from you. There are things I can teach you. There are things I cannot teach you. You need to teach yourself. I can tell you what you can do. I can guide you. But that's it. I cannot grab your hands and show you 1, 2, 3, 4. Life will teach you that at the end of the day. But again, I always say, don't be shy. I'm always, as Muhammad, if you would like to reach me, I'm always available. If I have time, I never say no. If I can assist someone just in advising them, why not? I never had anyone to advise me.
Where can people reach out to you?
Social media. Find me on LinkedIn.
What's the username?
M.Al-Hakim on Instagram. On LinkedIn, Hamid Al-Hakim. And I do respond. Anyone that goes out of their way, that reaches out. I do read sometimes. There are some things that I don't like to read sometimes, but I try to open conversations to see if it makes sense. I would reply back. Doesn't make sense. But again, if a youth has come, especially an Emirati, that will come and tap my door and say to me, Muhammad, please, I need to see you. I'm lost when it comes to my career. I will take that hour and two and sit down with them. You know, just recently, I sat with a person in the crypto world, an Emirati, that blew my mind, the knowledge that he had in the crypto world. I actually spent with him 2 hours. I was learning from him, not him learning from me. And he told me, what should I do? I was like, Habibi, you're still 23. Enjoy life. Don't come and show me that you've done a few million of dollars. Good on you, you've done a few million dollars. But again, you have a social life. Don't give it up. I don't want you to be, when you're in 28, that you're seeing the world as enjoying something that you have not tried. So there's skydive. There are a lot of things in life that you need to try out before you say, okay, I've seen everything in life. You've still not seen anything. So yes, some young generations that are out there have taken few risks. Some haven't. Some have focused too much on their career and not have focused on their social life. And you always need to have a balance between social life and work life. If you don't, and you just focus work, you're going to lose a lot of things around you. Especially family. Family do come first in every step you take in life. That's how I like to use it.
Very true. Very true. Oh, Muhammad, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
For sharing your wisdom.
Thank you.
Sharing your insights about the crypto world.
Thank you.
And for sure, for everyone that is listening, they can definitely follow you on your social media account. M.Hakim.
Al-Hakim. M.Al-Hakim. And Muhammad Al-Hakim on LinkedIn.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.